right. Welcome back, everybody. How you doing? Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline Studios here, downtown Chicago. We're here until 5 a.m. Steve Grzanich has the opening bell at 5, and the great Steve Cochran at 6 for your Friday morning drive. And it is Friday, which means all the regular features are coming up straight out of context. Nick D Show Spies, You Big Dummy, where we climb up the mountain to crown. We begin our climb up the mountain to crown Dummy of the Year for 2018. And Fly James Friday, all coming up. Also, author Jonathan Jackson is going to join us to talk about his book, The Making of Slapshot, of which I am hosting a screening on Tuesday night. All right, right now, I want to welcome back to the show our resident Sherlock Holmes expert, Bob Bedea, who is not only an expert on Sherlock Holmes and a writer, but he is also a screenwriter. We thought with the release of Holmes and Watson, we could talk about other humorous takes on Sherlock Holmes and other things. So let's welcome Bob back to the show. Bob, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, Nick. Thanks for having me back.
Absolutely. Welcome back. So just remind everybody how you got involved, how the whole Sherlock Holmes thing happened to you.
When I was a kid, I was involved in reading, mostly kid mysteries, the Hardy Boys, Nancy Drew, Encyclopedia Brown, and especially the Three Investigators. Those were my favorites. And then I got involved with Sherlock Holmes when I was about 12. And that really took off. Although I was a fan of the Basil Rathbone series prior to actually reading the Sir Arthur Conan Doyle story.
Right.
So I knew of Sherlock Holmes and had seen a couple of things, and especially the Basil Rathbone stuff. So
yeah.
That's how I got interested, and I started with the Adventures of Sherlock Holmes and picked up other copies of the reprints, and then about the same time, the 7% Solution was published, and that started kind of a rejuvenation of Sherlock Holmes. So I came in at pretty much like the exact correct time to see a resurgence and then start my collection.
Now, as far as the tell me about and your collection grows
yes.
Year after year. Tell me where it's at right now.
Right now, I have surpassed 1,300 books, and I believe when I first appeared on your show, I was somewhere around 800.
Wow!
So over the last decade or so, it's been an explosive time because we started with the Robert Downey Jr. film,
mm-hmm.
and which you know I know you didn't like, but that led to Sherlock on the BBC, which
right.
then really got things going.
Yeah.
So,
and then of course,
seen,
and then Elementary, yeah. Elementary on CBS
right.
is also a big
yeah.
hit.
Which, by the way, has also seen a resurgence. Their summer release was supposed to be about 15, 16 episodes. They increased it to 22, and it was the highest rated since its first season.
Wow.
So now they've got a seventh season coming up this
wow.
summer.
Okay, well, that's good. That's cool
yeah.
for people who like that. I think that show is pretty cool.
I think so, too.
Yeah, and I like the casting of it, and I think it's clever, and I think they do a good job with it.
Yeah.
Before we get to the comedy aspects of
yes.
Sherlock Holmes in honor of the release of Holmes and Watson,
right.
what are remind everybody, as far as the movies go, what do you think are the best Sherlock Holmes movies, the ones that kind of that represent Doyle's voice in the books?
I would have to go back to Basil Rathbone in The Hound of the Baskervilles. I think that's probably one of the best takes ever based on the original stories,
mm-hmm.
and it looks good. You've got Dr. Watson, although he's played later, Nigel Bruce plays him later kind of for laughs.
Yeah.
He's really good in the first film, The Hound of the Baskervilles. So you have that, and you have the brilliant Basil Rathbone.
Yeah.
He looks the part, and and you'd swear that he was born to play that character.
Yeah, when I think of Sherlock Holmes, I immediately think of Basil Rathbone. That's the first actor
yes.
that I think of.
Yeah, and then second, of course, I think the two of us agree on is Peter Cushing as Holmes. He does an excellent job as Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah.
My favorite has always been Jeremy Brett for the portrayal of the original character, you know, the Conan Doyle character. Mm-hmm. But I do like Benedict Cumberbatch a lot.
In recent years,
we had Mr. Holmes, which was Ian McKellen.
Ian McKellen.
As an elderly Sherlock Holmes,
right.
And that movie is it's beautiful to watch, absolutely beautiful. Not much of a mystery, because you're basically looking at a character study of Sherlock Holmes, and it's my top favorite film. Which, if I would just pick all take all the films together, my top favorite would be Mr. Holmes, followed by Without a Clue, the comedy with.
Michael Caine.
Ben Kingsley
and Michael
Caine as Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah. So we're going to talk about that in a little bit more detail as part of the comedy aspect of how that was handled with Sherlock Holmes. Now, in general, though, but Bob, you're a big mystery fan anyway.
Yes.
Because, we've talked about the Agatha Christie stuff and, we had you on when the remake of Murder of the Orient Express came out.
Yeah.
And we talked about that. But is there just, have you always been, I mean, you just said you were a kid. What is it about mysteries that you like so much? Do you try and solve them while you're,
I like to try and solve them. My wife isn't a big fan of that when I do that kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because I do guess the endings a lot, but I don't see that as a detriment to, reading a mystery. I like to engage my mind. Even if something is not a mystery, I do try to see what might be coming ahead. And if I'm taken completely by surprise, great.
Yeah.
And if I'm not, then I'm proud of myself for figuring it out.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it keeps me sharp and it keeps me engaged, and that's one of the reasons why I do like mysteries a lot. Especially like you and I had talked about before, when they're done fairly. I've read a number that were completely unfair. No clues provided.
Yep.
I read a book recently. I won't even give the title, but you don't know anything about a certain incident until after the bad guy is caught, and then they explain it then.
Yeah.
And I thought, no, that's not fair. You don't do that.
Yeah.
In a mystery, you tell us the clues ahead of time, and then we are surprised we didn't get it, or we're surprised we did get it.
Yeah, but at least provide a fair set. And I've told you about this before, Bob. There was a movie called The Bedroom Window, which was directed by the late great Curtis Hanson, and it's a good film. I still recommend it very much. But it's about a guy who claims to have witnessed something that happens outside. And he's played by Steve Guttenberg. And during the trial segment of the film, they put him on the stand, and they're interrogating him, and they ask him to describe what he saw, and how far away was it, and all that stuff. And then they tell him before they're going to do the test to see if he can see from, as far away as he says, he can identify something from as far away as he says he was looking out the window.
Yeah.
And then before they do that, they say, okay, remove your contact lenses.
Right.
And at no point in the movie do you know that he has contact lenses.
Yeah.
And even if they had like a subtle shot of like him in the bathroom or something, and you can see the contact lenses on the sink or a pair of glasses or something like that, to at least provide that information to the audience, and then you can go back and go, oh, wait a minute, he had contact lenses on the sink. You forget about that. But just to pull that out and go, yeah, he's wearing contact lenses, so here we go. That made me angry.
Yeah, I don't like those kinds of things either. And I also don't like when they place a clue so prominent that you can't help but see it.
Yeah.
Sometimes I just read a book recently where a guy puts an item in his pocket, and it's so blatant that even though it happens about like three quarters of the way in, that's going to play in at the end of the story.
Yeah.
And you see the whole end of the story coming.
Yeah, that's not...
It's okay, I suppose, but it was just so blatant, I thought that was a poorly placed clue.
Yeah, okay.
So,
all right. Bob, hang on, okay?
Sure.
All right, Bob Medea is with us, and he is our resident Sherlock Holmes expert. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk about Holmes and Watson, which is the new comedy that stars Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. And then we're going to talk about other comedy versions of Sherlock Holmes. And there have been more than you think. And Bob will jump in and tell you what he thinks of them as well. And we'll both review Holmes and Watson. That's coming up. If you guys want to jump in at any time, if you're a Sherlock Holmes fan, a mystery fan, if you saw Holmes and Watson, I doubt you did, because no one's going to see it. But if you have a favorite sort of comedy Sherlock Holmes take, we would love to hear from you at 312-981-7200. Talk and text 312-981-7200. And we'll return after this. Welcome back, everybody. Nick DiGilio here on 720 WGN. We're live in the Allstate Skyline studio. It's Friday morning, which means we've got all of our regular Friday features coming up. And a special version of You Big Dummy as we count down to the Dummy of the Year for 2018. Jonathan Jackson is going to join us after the 2 o'clock news to talk about his book, The Making of Slapshot, as we are getting closer to my Tuesday night screening of Slapshot. We'll get into that. Plus, we're going to talk about movie candy. What are your favorites? And I've got a ranked list of what the most popular ones are. And we're going to catch up with some more local entertainment stories. We did national stuff yesterday from 2018. And again, the phone number is 312-981-7200. 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Right now, our guest is Bob Adea, who is our resident Sherlock Holmes expert. And in honor of the release of Holmes and Watson, we're going to talk about the humorous takes on the Sherlock Holmes character. And again, if you want to jump in, it's 312-981-7200 for talk and text. Bob, welcome back.
Thanks, Nick.
All right, here's a caller. Donald is here. Hey, Donald.
Hi.
Hi.
I actually was in a production, a stage musical comedy production of a Sherlock Holmes made-up story. And I played Professor Moriarty. I played him like Jack the Ripper, jumping into the audience and singing.
Wow.
You know, that kind of thing. And this was back in 1982.
Wait, was it here? Was it in town here, Donald?
Yes, it was. It was the biggest hit at the time that Pegasus Playhouse ever had.
Oh, Pegasus. I know Pegasus. Absolutely, yeah.
Yeah, it was back when the producer was Arlene Crutzen, mm-hmm. the original founder, and her friend was a nurse, I believe. And she wrote this play. It was kind of straight, but we burlesqued it. We did the Springtime for Hitler thing on it, you know.
Yeah.
Well, let's cut that out and let's try it this way, you know. And it turned out to be Jefferson Award recommended.
Oh yeah, you got Jeff Award recommended. Outstanding. Good for you.
Yeah, so it was kind of fun, you know. And I think that it's that play is archived in the University of Minnesota Sherlock Holmes Archives.
Oh, is that right? Wow. What's the name of the play, Donald?
It's got a similar name to that movie. It's just Sherlock with an exclamation point at the end.
Oh, okay. Okay. Now, familiar with that, Bob?
No, I'm not. But I am familiar with the university that has the Sherlock Holmes collection.
Mm.
And, I got invited to that dedication when it was first out and I was in high school. I was just out of high school when this play was obviously performed.
Right,
so.
Right. Well, yeah. Donald, thanks for the call. And, you know, Moriarty, that's a good role, man. That's a nice, juicy role.
Oh, yeah, especially I played him with two different voices and an expert of disguise. And I always wanted to stab Sherlock Holmes, but I never could get up the nerve. You'd always look me in the eye,
yeah.
You know, and I'd freeze.
Yeah.
You know, so.
Well, Donald, thanks for the call. We appreciate it.
Okay, thank you.
Take care. Bye-bye. There you go. That's fun.
Yeah, that would have been interesting to see.
Yeah, so much fun. All right. Okay, well, listen, let's talk about it. You wrote a little piece here about the comedy of Sherlock Holmes.
Right.
Let's go through the list, and then we'll end the segment with our review of the latest Holmes and Watson.
Okay.
So let's start with the first one.
I've got The Hound of the Baskervilles from 1978 with Peter Cook as Holmes and Dudley Moore as Watson, a really bad film. And it's odd because it's the same year that Dudley Moore was in Foul Play, which is a really good movie.
Yeah.
It's rambling, the jokes don't add up, and it's just basically a train wreck of a movie. It's got a silly premise. It has a parody of The Exorcist in it at one point, and to see these two comic legends thing, it's terrible.
Yeah.
And it could have been good, because those two guys would have fit a comic version of Holmes and Watson really well.
Oh, no question about it. So. And the fact that they were a comedy team and worked so well together.
Yes.
I mean, and also you mentioned here that Terry Thomas was in it.
Right. It was his last film project, the last time he was in an actual movie. I think he went on to do TV a little, you know, for a little while afterwards, but he hated it. Mm-hmm. Said there was no magic in the production, and I don't know if that's what stopped him from making films, mm-hmm. but yeah, he absolutely hated the movie.
Okay. All right. Now, the next one that you have here is The Adventure of Sherlock Holmes' Smarter Brother. Now, I've seen this one.
Right.
It's a Gene Wilder, yes. Marty Feldman.
Right. This is not a bad movie. It's not great, but and some of the jokes are pretty stale, but you get to see Gene Wilder a little differently, I think. For one thing, he learned his fencing skills at the Bristol Old Vic Theatre in England, theatre school in England. So he gets to use his fencing skills quite a bit in this movie, and looks really good doing it.
Oh, good, yeah.
It's got a couple of musical numbers, which are enjoyable. And then the musical score of the film is also really good. It's by John Morris, and he patterned it after The Adventures of Robin Hood. And you got Marty Feldman, who's always a joy.
Yeah.
And, as well as you've also got Madeline Kahn.
Who was one of the funniest women that's ever lived.
Oh, truly, yeah. Truly. And she's good in this, too. Yeah. Like I said, some of the jokes fall flat, but you've got a pretty good mystery. And then you've got Leo McKern as Moriarty. And now this is hilarious. Look in the background when they were there showing Moriarty's lair. He's got a chalkboard. He's supposed to be a brilliant mathematician. He's got a chalkboard in the background with some simple addition problems written on it. All the answers are wrong. And it's just really, it's really funny. You got a cameo by Albert Finney, who played Hercule Poirot on Murder in the Orient Express the year before. So
yeah.
He shows up out of and talks right to the camera.
No.
He doesn't. It's not even a. It just breaks down the fourth wall.
Yeah.
So you got that kind of silliness there too.
Yeah.
So
okay. All right, and it was written and directed by Gene Wilder as well.
By Gene Wilder,
yeah.
Right?
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
And the next one here is The Private Life of Sherlock Holmes. Tell me about that one.
Right. Directed by another Wilder, Billy Wilder.
Yep.
This is one of my favorite movies of in Sherlock Holmes. It's beautiful to look at. You've got Holmes being lured into a mystery that he shouldn't get involved in. Holmes is played by Robert Stevens and done brilliantly. Colin Blakely plays Dr. Watson, also wonderful. And then you've got the great Christopher Lee as Mycroft, the only actor to play both brothers in film. And it has to do with a missing scientist, and they go to Loch Ness where they encounter the Loch Ness Monster, and although that sounds silly, it actually is very important to the story. And if you haven't seen this, it's a good adventure movie too.
Okay.
So very funny. It was supposed to have a lot more to it. It was supposed to be about 3 hours long. It got edited without Billy Wilder's knowledge,
yeah.
And he didn't like what they did to the film afterwards. If you can get the DVD, which is easily obtainable now, it's got a ton of extra stuff on it, so you can get an impression of what that movie could have really been.
Okay, all right.
So,
all right, and then we've mentioned already. You mentioned Without a Clue with Ben Kingsley,
right,
and Michael
Caine.
Very, very funny movie.
Always hilarious. I must have watched this movie 100 times.
Yeah.
And just recently, I noticed in the very beginning, you've got basically what the story is what if Sherlock Holmes was an idiot?
Yeah.
And Dr. Watson was the true genius.
Right.
That's where the premise comes from. Holmes is an actor who is hired to play the character of Sherlock Holmes. And he, right at the beginning, they're in a museum, and he lights his pipe and then tosses the match into an expensive-looking vase that he just assumes is an ashtray for him.
Yeah.
I never noticed that until recently, having watched it.
Yeah.
There's also, when you're at the theater and near the end of the movie, it's a theater that was showing the play that he was in called I can't remember the title of the play that
That's
he was
right.
in. But you see the title on the marquee, and someone has scrawled across the thing, "This stinks," and I hadn't noticed that for years. I just found it a little while ago. So look in the background for some of these movies. Okay. They have a lot of little jokes.
Now,
in the background.
Let's jump, because we're running out of time. Let's jump to Holmes and Watson. This is the latest. Will Ferrell, John C. Reilly, and it is getting blasted by critics and people, and it's not making any money. And I didn't hate it. I think it's dumb, but there are some big laughs in it. I mean, there are times when I laughed out loud during the movie.
Nick, the part where they go for the autopsy, I couldn't breathe.
Yeah.
I was laughing so hard.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is not a great Sherlock Holmes movie, and it is not a great John C. Reilly, Will Ferrell movie.
Yeah.
But don't be so serious and just take the comedy. The way I see it, it was a bunch of skits all put together.
Yeah.
And some of them work and some of them don't. It's like you're watching Saturday Night Live.
Yeah.
Some of them work, some of them don't.
Right.
And if you can go in maybe with that mindset,
I think my favorite scene in the movie, the scene that made me laugh the most, was when after they get drunk and they go to the telegraph office and he basically drunk telegraph. I thought that was hilarious. That was my favorite scene in the whole movie.
And I like the part where he goes to his brother, and they're so intelligent that they don't even speak.
Oh my God, that's
Watson
right.
Watson tries to get in on the conversation.
Yeah. That's hilarious, hilarious. And by the way, nice cameos though, because that's Ralph Fiennes.
Yes.
Ralph Fiennes oh my God, who played Moriarty? Oh, Ralph Fiennes played Moriarty.
Ralph Fiennes played Moriarty.
Oh, it was Hugh. I was going to say Hugh Grant, who he played House.
Hugh Laurie,
right, and it's appropriate because everybody compared House to Sherlock Holmes,
right?
So that was a nice that was a nice little piece of casting. It's not nearly it's not nearly as bad as everybody is saying it is, and it's a really silly movie, but it's Will Ferrell and John C. Reilly. That's what they do. They make silly movies.
Exactly.
So.
Well, I'm glad we finally found a Sherlock Holmes movie the two of us agree on.
Well, well, no, we agree on Without a Clue. I think Without a Clue is hilarious.
Oh, that's true. That's true.
I love the Hounds of the original one with Basil Rathbone. I love that one too.
Right.
So
yeah.
The classic ones. All right, Bob. Always a pleasure. And can people get a hold of you, because you do go to schools and you go to libraries and stuff and speak about this? Is there a website or something?
My email is the word triple, the letter B as in boy, 221@hotmail.com. So it's triple B, 221@hotmail.com. And anybody can contact me. I talk about Sherlock Holmes and about screenwriting, and I believe that your other producer, Dan Shagrew, is going to mention a couple of links for my new movie, Forbidden.
Right.
And when he posts, when all of this gets posted on your site. So people can check that out, too.
Okay. All right, Bob. Thanks again.
All right. Thank you.
Take care. You go, Bob Madea, everybody. Fascinating guy. All right. The news is coming up after this.